That's what one of my favorite shows growing up, watching that show. Learned about relationships from that show in 15
that
minutes.
That explains a lot.
It took 15 minutes to figure out how things went from good to bad and worse or whatever. And, well, we have 30 days to repair something that may have gone wrong with you, because we have the author of Diary of the Dumped, 30 Days from Breakup to Breakthrough. Alexandra Sequoy joins us. Good morning, Alexandra.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
Now, do they refer to you as Alexandra or Alex or Sandy or what?
People close to me refer to me as Alex.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm not that close to you yet, so we'll call you still Alexandra this morning for you. The book you've put together, what made you want to do this and sort of reveal a lot of personal turmoil to the public?
That's a really great question. I didn't want to do it. And 4 years ago, I was dating a man in Akron. And after dating for 10 weeks, he broke up with me on a text message on the 4th of July. I was absolutely devastated and called my childhood friend, Anita Myers, and said, "Hey, I need you to be my friend." And she said, "I need you to write this stuff." And I said, "I don't want to write this stuff. My heart is broken." And she said, "No, go write this stuff. Keep a diary for 30 days. And so really, she made me do it.
And you were sort of a writer by trade, though based on a pie chart in here, I see you have other abilities as well, too, right?
Thank you. Yes. I've done a lot of things in my life, but being a writer is something I've done since I was 4 years old.
Now, I lost this pie chart. It's described here about, I like this, it says, "Online dating sites, probability of men's interest level in me based on my posted job title. If you post down MBA corporate executive, about 25% interest on that. Entrepreneur, 15. You put down writer, 60% interest on there as well. What do you glean from that?
Right. So I spent 20 years in corporate America and I have an MBA and I'm very proud of the work I've done and the companies I've worked at. But there is still the stigma of women being strong and powerful out in the workforce. And how does that translate into the personal relationship? And so the second I just started telling men that I'm a writer, suddenly there's a mystery around it. Suddenly there's a romance around it. Suddenly they all want to be part of a book until they really know what I write about.
What does Vincent think about that? I mean, have the names been changed to protect the guilty, as it were?
Yes, Vincent's name has been, in fact, changed to protect, but I don't know if he's read it. I haven't really heard.
Well, I know that this kind of goes from the time that the breakup happened, which coincidentally happened the same time that LeBron James broke up with Cleveland in here, too.
That's right.
So the entire community probably had sort of an aura, or there was this kind of a sense in the community of sort of a heartbreak that maybe was absorbed by you as a writer, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt like it was a double breakup. I got dumped by text message. I got dumped by LeBron. And, you know, all of it just hit me really hard. So I had to write about it.
Is that text message burned? Can you recite exactly what it
said? Not anymore.
Oh.
I'm over it.
Oh, okay.
I'm over him and I'm over it.
Well, you had that one point where you actually stopped looking at his Facebook. And I wonder with social media, and Susie, I can bring you in on this too as well. Susie Peters joins us this morning as well, because as a book
Happy
about,
Friday. Sorry. Yeah. It's automatic.
Well, social media, even what used to be like I just avoid them or avoid their friends or avoid their hangouts, now you can sort of at a click kind of, what are they doing? You know, and there's probably, obviously, this doesn't seem very healthy to do something like that, does it?
Right. Becomes almost very voyeuristic, but also passive aggressive, where, you know, you've been hurt by somebody and you hope that their life is really, really awful. And then you click on their Facebook profile and they're having all this fun. And you're like, "You're not supposed to have fun. You just broke my heart." And then one of my friends actually taught me that there is a feature on Facebook where you can actually block somebody to the point where if you ever want to know what they're up to, you have to go through this really complicated process to even resurrect their name to show up. So I was so glad to have 86 that.
Really?
Oh, and I would think that's a very important thing to know, tool to have right now, because that's something that, you know, our parents can't relate to that. They can give you a lot of advice when you're heartbroken, but that's not something they know anything about or can relate to, the whole idea of obsessively checking somebody's Facebook profile.
I saw a TV show that's on now, a new show, is about love, a new romance, and it involved somebody who said to them, "I know the guy's email passwords, so I could actually get into the emails." And the whole part of the episode involved, they had to figure out somebody that they wouldn't want to talk to had to change their passwords so they wouldn't try to find it. So there is that kind of ability. We talk about all the Russians and all these people in other countries spying. Just on a personal level, we can still utilize those things and probably you know, kind of still say it makes it hard for a breakup. You put this down in 30 days.
That's right.
Does was that a plan to the point of after 30 days you realize where it was, or were you just trying to kind of get things in a nice, concise manner so people can kind of have a know where the end of the tunnel is, so to speak?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So when Anita Meyer suggested that I do this, strongly suggested, and she's also, not only do we know each other since fourth grade, but she's a licensed life coach and relationship coach. When she said to keep the diary for 30 days, I had my draft and it was a 30-day diary, and she just suggested to do it for a month. But what I didn't realize after I started working, I sent this over to Barry Evans, and she's a writing coach in LA. And I sent this to her and I said, well, what do you think? What do you think about this? And I just sent her the initial draft. And she said, well, I think it's good, she said, but I'll only work with you on this if you get to the truth of the matter. And what I didn't realize, while the diary just took 30 days to write, it actually took several years to get to the truth of the matter for the product that people can actually read right now. So I wasn't very honest with myself in those first 30 days.
So you had to rewrite your diary, in other words.
I had to rewrite my diary about a dozen times.
Oh, boy. You think that scripts get trouble when they get through some sort of a Hollywood process or a book writing process, but even a diary like that. Susie bookmarked some parts in here as well. And one of the things that she put in here was, and she actually used a post-it note with an arrow. You have a theory that more often than not, men don't want a girlfriend.
It's true.
Explain what do you kind of mean by that?
Well, one of the things I talk about, and the sentence I believe you're alluding to, is that oftentimes men don't need girlfriends. What they really need is an audience. And I think that there's this misconception that women do a lot of talking. In my experience, and I've met a lot of people over my life, is that it's actually quite fascinating. Once you get a man to start talking about something he's really, really passionate about, he will talk about it for quite a long time. And I think there's men that really do want girlfriends, but I think there's certain men that just want someone to listen to them and to be heard. And I don't really blame them, because in today's day and age, like, men get such a bad rap, and it's unfortunate that they do. And I think if more men were actually heard for what they have to say, and if more women looked at men in a more honest way, in a less judgmental way, then maybe they'd be far more open to having girlfriends than just to having an audience.
That's a really key point. When you say that women should look at men a little less judgmentally, you know, we are guilty of that many times. We go, oh, all they want to talk about is sports and all, you know, they're so boring. But it takes kind of a craft to be able to get them to open up and talk about things other than the last score of the game, you know.
That's right.
We're talking this morning to Alexander Sequoy, the author of Diary of the Dumped, 30 Days from Breakup to Breakthrough. What age range of a person would get the best information out of something like this?
So that's another really good question. What I would say is anybody from people from their mid-20s to their 40s to their 50s. And I've had people in every single demographic now read this book, men and women, who have either through the Amazon reviews that they have posted around the book or them reaching out to me privately actually say, you are hitting on some things that we did not want to confront, and this is helping us heal.
And any part of the book that really has resonated with a lot of the readers that you either find surprising or you thought, I'm glad they were able to pick up on that message?
You know, no one's really reported back onto like that one specific section or that one specific chapter. But what I know for a fact is that I am hitting on some notes of intimacy that people are often afraid to look at.
I'm going through the book here, looking at the different parts of this. As you were working your way through this and putting the book together,
yes,
where are you in your life, and how does this feel like a whole different person to you, or do you still kind of, you know, see yourself in this book that you've put together?
What I would say, it's a two-part answer. The first part is I'm really grateful that I sat down and I wrote that diary. I'm really grateful that Anita pushed me to it. I'm really grateful that Barry Evans was able to get out of me what she was able to excavate out of me. And so it started to help my heart heal from a whole lot of stuff that goes that the book goes into, but even beyond the book. And the second part of that is earlier this year, I took a sabbatical and I just traveled for 6 months and lived out of two suitcases and spent a month in Dublin, Ireland. And when I was in Dublin, Ireland, the combination of being there for a month and this book for the first time in 2014, I feel like my heart is whole. And it's almost like seeing a spectrum and seeing colors that you never even knew existed.
This has a good movie feel to it, you know?
Thank you.
Leaving, going to another country or whatever, that whole kind of...
Martin Scorsese, are you listening?
You're going to be doing a book signing coming up soon, right?
Yes. There will be a book reading and book signing next Thursday at the Lakewood Public Library at 7 o'clock.
Anything fun going to happen at the book reading?
Oh, yes. We're going to have special guests. So Jimmy Israel, who generously wrote the foreword to this book, he's going to come and he's going to read that. And then Dina Mendlowitz, who does a lot of improv in Cleveland, she is going to come in and she's going to kick off the event and break the ice in a way that only she can. And I'm also really grateful that Anita Myers is going to be coming in from Chicago with her family, so she will be there. There will be surprises, there will be guests, there will be all kinds of interesting stuff happening that night.
Well, we're glad you're here this morning, too, because I know you write for related to rock and music and that sort of thing. So the interest that came out today was the nominees for the induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Remember, it's like, what, a 25-year waiting period from the first time they have something recorded. And the list came out this morning. The Paul Butterfield Blues Band, Chic, Green Day, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Kraftwerk. Now, here's a good one. The Kraftwerk and the Marvelettes. That's an interesting bill I'd like to see. NWA, Nine Inch Nails, Lou Reed. Isn't he already in? Of course, I guess that was just with the Velvet Underground part of it. The Smiths. The Spinners, The Sting, Stevie Ray.
Did you just say The Sting?
No, Stevie Ray Vaughan, War, and Bill Withers.
It's a lot of diversity there.
Well, it's a lot of diversity, but yet I still look at that. And outside of, I guess, maybe Green Day and perhaps NWA a little bit, most of them are still sort of those ones that have been sitting and waiting for quite a long time. What do you think of a list like that or this whole...
Yeah, so process. I'm wearing my Rock Hall t-shirt in honor of the nominees today. I actually like the list. First of all, I've seen some of these acts live. I've seen Morrissey live. I've seen Trent Reznor live. I've seen Sting and the Police live. So I like the list just because I've seen these people and I really respect them. A lot of them are still so relevant today. I'm excited that Kraftwerk is nominated because, you know, EDM is such a hot thing right now with all the youth, and you wouldn't have it if you didn't have people like Kraftwerk who kicked it off and were pioneers with the synthesizers and the keyboards and everything they've done. And, you know, Lou Reed, may he rest in peace, very, very influential. So I like the list. I just wish Pat Benatar was on it.
There's a lot of, you know, and there's still a lot of those many, you know, the commercial groups that are out there still waiting to get in, and you wonder what it is that's going to get somebody in, but I guess you're just going to have to see,
this is where I have to say something because I get so crazy when people get on Facebook and they post, why didn't so-and-so get in? And it's like, just, they can't induct everybody all at once. So
we're going to just wait?
See,
that does, if you're going to wait, if someone's eventually going to get inducted, why, what, and they're a band that's been pretty much, there's a finish to the band. It's done their work, they're over with. And they're going to get in later. What is it that's changed from then to now? Other
what
than just.
What do you mean? What is it that's changed?
What is it that's changed that didn't allow them to get in before?
Well, it's not that. It's that, you know, they have a panel that votes on who's going to get in.
All
so
right.
Depending on who the panel is at the time and their preferences.
Politics, is that what you're saying there?
Well, it's people. It's real people. So it's not made up of like some aggregated analytical data.
What's
it's
wrong
people.
With that? That would be sort of dry well, without the passion that's involved.
That would be a different museum.
You just have to wait for the people to get on the board who actually grew up and had impact with these artists. Because many times, you know, people's musical identity is formed at a certain age, and it goes deep within their core, and that's who they will fight for to the end. Some of the other groups that come by, then they have to wait and get persuaded by it.
Well, I think also there's an element of relevance then versus relevance now. Just this weekend, I saw Gone Girl, and David Fincher directed that, and Trent Reznor did the soundtrack to that. And they've had a partnership forever. So Trent Reznor is still just as relevant right now as he was being a Cleveland boy before he was even in Nine Inch Nails.
Right.
So I think it has to do with relevance then and then relevance and influence now.
So these, of course, just the nominees. They'll be whittling down that list to something smaller when the inductions come up in 2015. Again, we've been speaking today with Alexander Sequoy. The book is Diary of the Dumped. And again, you'll be at the Lakewood Public Library next Thursday at 7 o'clock. couples invited to attend this, or is this going to be kind of the Lonely Hearts Club?
Well, great question, because there's going to be quite a few singles there, really, really great singles. So I would just encourage people to come, because you just don't know who you're going to meet.
See, they'll buy the book and then just toss it in the can as they meet the person. So they think, I've got my 30 days done in 30 minutes here.
Well, hopefully the book is also going to help people just get past a lot of whatever they've had to go through in the past, so they can have a fresh start, so they can have a clean perspective, and so they can say, I'm actually capable of having a healthy relationship, even though I've had my heart broken.
Besides going at the library on the 16th, where else can they get a hold of your book?
They can pick up the book on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle editions.
That's very good. Alexandra Sukhoy, S-U-K-H-O-Y. People are looking to spell it and look search for it. Diary of the Dumped.